for all that he has done. I just can't thank him enough. He has done marvelous things. For all that he has done, I just can't thank him enough. He has done marvelous things. For all that he has done, I just can't thank him enough. He has done marvelous things. For all that he has done, I just can't thank him enough. He has done marvelous things. He's been good. I can't tell it all. He's been good. I can't tell it all. He's been good. I can't tell it all. He's done marvelous, marvelous things. For all that he has done, I just can't thank him enough. He has done marvelous things. For all that he has done, I just can't thank him enough. He has done marvelous things. He's been good. I can't tell it all. He's been good. I can't tell it all. He's been good. I can't tell it all. He's done marvelous, marvelous things. He's done marvelous, marvelous things. He's done marvelous, marvelous things. Praise the Lord. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Hallelujah. And let's pray. God, help us tonight. Say something, Lord, that will minister to our spirit, edify our soul, and give us strength in times to come. Praise God. Strength to live for God, strength to endure, strength to overcome, strength to protect the child. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Appreciate the word of the Lord. And you learn something new every day. You learn something new about the attitude of the Word of God. You know, we live life, and when you go to church, you meet lots of people, you see lots of things, and when new people come, you know, well, we're a human race. We all have attitude, good and bad. But God's got attitude too. And the Word of God has attitude. And when I say attitude, I'm not specifically pinpointing an attitude problem. I'm saying that there is an agenda. There's an attitude that comes with the Word of God. And the Word of God is what the writer of Hebrews says it really is when you really squeeze verse 12 of chapter 4 for what it is. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, right? Sharper than any two-edged sword. Think about what it's saying. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of a joint and marrow, right, of soul and spirit, is a discerner, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What is the word of God is? Praise God. That's a lot to chew on. There's no stopping the word. Read this to you and made mention a few nights ago, or a few days back, about lives that were, I'm going to use this word carefully, disrupted by the word. Blessed is a better way. We can look back and say they were blessed by the word. So that, like I said at the beginning of the service, even Mary, right? She sang out in front of her cousin Elizabeth, you know, my soul doth magnify the Lord. When you read that conversation between Elizabeth and Mary, you read a rather interesting conversation between the mother of the one preparing the way before him and the one bearing the Lord he was preparing the way for. So they walk into the room together, and as soon as she said, hey, cuz, old brother John leaped in her womb. Two kids having a conversation, having never met at that moment, and wouldn't meet for a long time. But they were bearing witness. Mary said, I'm magnifying God. He's done to me great things, even though it caused some conflict at home. Even though it caused a tumult, even though it caused a dude that was going to marry me and almost put me away. See, those are the things you don't read about, things that don't often get said, because at this time of the year, it all becomes cute and cardish, present-ish, movie-ish. And I'm not mocking this time. I'm not telling you don't have a tree and don't get into the... You can get into the Christmas thing if you want to. And if you do, as unto the Lord you do. And if you don't and you're Scrooge McDuck, fine. And unto the Lord you're a Scrooge. Just don't get in each other's hair over it. If you don't like the holidays and you think they're all pagan, fine. That's your opinion. Leave the rest of us alone. If we should honor it and appreciate everything but the fruitcake.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's always one in every crowd. But we don't judge one another in these things, right? Because if you observe a day as unto the Lord, you do it. If you don't, you don't unto the Lord. And we learn to love one another. That's what this is all about. If you give gifts, do it cheerfully. Just don't be afraid to do it when the holiday's over. But Mary and Joseph allowed their lives willingly. Mary, you know, if you want to think of it like this, Mary could have said, I'm not the only handmaiden in Israel. And you don't know what that's going to do to my family. You don't know my dad, Gabe. But she didn't. Because when the conversation was happening in Luke chapter 1, and she was asking, how's this going to be? And she was being informed that the power of the highest is going to overshadow you. Therefore, that holy thing that shall be formed in you shall be called the Son of God. That she heard all of this, and she, as we said before, willingly accepted. Knowing the tumult it would probably cause. She had to have at least some immediate foresight. It's not going to go over good, but be it unto me according to thy word. So for that example that we talked about on Sunday, and this one, what I want to say to you is God's not afraid to announce himself. And God's not afraid of the tumult or the trouble in my cause. Praise the Lord. I want you to get that in your mind, because the first time he announced he's coming, it really caused a rift in the family, no doubt. Joseph is a prime example in Matthew 1 that it didn't go down good. Right? There was some doubts, conversations, but yet the word of God still came. Prophecy was still fulfilled. Praise God. It didn't stop the prophecy. The prophecy wasn't concerned about the problem it might stir. He knew in showing up into this world that he was going to cause division. as Jesus taught in his lesson, right? He would cause mother be against daughter, father against son. What was he saying? The gospel is going to separate some things. It's going to cause a stir. It's going to cause things to not be always, you know, happy, clappy, and praise the Lord and jubilee. Hallelujah. God wasn't worried about what Herod thought. But he purposefully, and this is what I'm seeing here in Scripture tonight and what I want to pass on to you. I mean, that's a pretty big, magnificent thing for some guys to be showing up in town saying, where is he? See, God don't, he's not worried about what Herod's going to think about him. In fact, he wants Herod knowing he's coming. Yeah. Oh, I love the Lord. Don't you? See, we're always worried about our enemy, but the Lord announces by his own word and by his attitude, he just walks into town and sends some people to say, where is he that is born the king? To a guy that said, well, that's me. No, the Lord walked into town by his word and said, no, that's me. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm king over all the earth and was still king when he was manifest in the flesh. Praise the Lord. Now, it's nice that he's king over all the earth, but in the fact that they said, where is he that is born king, man, he wanted to become our king. Right. Praise God. Not just the Israelite king, but every nation under heaven king. Right. And I love it. I love the way that God does stuff. He's not afraid to terrorize the enemy by his own word. Amen. And by fulfilling his own word, he's going to bless some and he's going to terrorize others. Praise the Lord. Some are going to say, praise the Lord, be it unto me. And the others are going to say, I don't know about this. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I want to be on the be it unto me side. I want to be on the you have done to me great things side. Don't you? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I love him. He's worthy of our praise. But there's attitude here. And good attitude, righteous attitude, holy attitude. But think about it. And this is coming from the Word of God. And when you blend it all together now, the announcement is so huge, but not everybody got it. But those that wanted to get it got it. But this is the one that would grow up before him as a tender plant. This is one that would make of no reputation for himself. He would not seek his own approval, his own glory. But yet the announcement that he's here just kind of walk some wise men into town, and I'm not here to talk about the traditional side of all that. That's not the point of it all. Could have been 100 wise men. Who cares? They saw something, and God showed it to them. Praise God. And they just followed what God showed. All the way from the east, coming all the way west into Israel, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? What are you people talking about? Isn't it amazing? You can talk about some good things of God and people will rejoice, they praise the Lord. Others, they get troubled. All depends on what spirit you're of. But no matter whether you're of a good spirit or a bad spirit, the Word of God is still going to be the Word of God, and he's not going to hold his peace. And I thank God for that. I thank God for that. I thank God he's willing to walk right into Herod's kingdom and let him know. There's a king born right underneath your dumb nose. You wicked, pathetic thing. He knows how to trouble the enemy. Don't you ever be afraid of your enemies. If you feel like you've got enemies, I don't care where they are, if they're between your ears or if they're external people, circumstances, things not going your way, people at school or the job, makes no difference. Don't you ever be afraid. Always know that God can send a word that can trouble your enemies. Just like he could send a noise and rumble, a noise in the camp of the Midianites and cause them all to turn their own swords on each other and deliver Gideon and all the children of Israel from the enemy. We need to fear God. We need to love God and not be afraid of the enemy. What can man do unto me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's so good. So I'm here again to say to you tonight, in another way in the next chapter. He just continues with his arrival here. He just continues to upset the apple cart. And, you know, there, oftentimes, because we're people, we like everything just going smooth, orderly, smooth, peaceful and kind. Never wrong and bad. And we just don't understand that the ways of God will give us peace, but it may not give others peace. And when he converts you, it might, and you, let me say it like this. If you really get serious about serving God, and I'm not saying that anybody isn't, but I'm saying when you get serious about this thing and you start digging into this thing and you start being on fire for Jesus, let me just say something to the kids that are at school. You might lose a friend or two. I'm not saying you're trying to. And you may not say anything that'll drive them away, but it'll be your zeal, it'll be your on fire for Jesus, it'll be the presence of the Holy Ghost that will cause that change to happen, because that's just what happens when he comes to town. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This time of the year we talk about Santa Claus coming to town. We're not talking about the fat dude, we're talking about Jesus coming to town. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come into your town. And the things that he'll do when he comes to your town, the wonderful things that he'll do. It just may not be wonderful for everybody in your town. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just imagining what they're all doing and what everybody's thinking, but the scripture says that when the king had heard these things in all Jerusalem, they were all troubled. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? That's kind of puzzling. For the Jews, kind of puzzling. You think they got excited and would be like, well, let's follow you people and let's see if we can see that star. But not all see. But I want to make sure I see. I'm not going to waste my life frustrated about Herod and the religious people who can't see. I'm going to get excited about the people who want to see. And the people who are seeing, who can see that star, who can be led by that star of David, amen, that bright and morning star, that day star arising in your hearts. And I want to say to you all tonight that there is a world and there is a population in the world that wants to serve God, and they're looking for his star. And they're being led, in other words, they're being led by the supernatural things of God, and they're in search. Where is he? Where is the king? It's read, who is this king of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, is this king. And do you know tonight, and are you reminded tonight by the word of God, that the king dwells in you? The very king they're looking for dwells in you. Amen. The day star from on high has visited us, and he dwells in you. Amen. You are the star, and you may be the only star of David that anybody will ever see. Make sure they see it. Hallelujah. Make sure the attitude of God prevails over your attitude. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Isn't that right? Oh, hallelujah. Let them see Jesus in you. That's why we pray, we seek after God, right? That's why we push the plate away. That's why we stay digging into this word. That's why we humble ourselves and pray. That's why we keep under our body and bring it into subjection. Praise God. That's why we make sure we're crucified with Christ, that we might live with Christ, and that the light of God might shine. Because there is a world looking for it. I don't know where they all are. I don't know how to reach everybody. I don't have all the wisdom in the world, but God does. The one thing we can do is what we can do, right? We were talking about that before. We can do what we can do, and it's a lot. We can pray and yield and seek after God, and it's through that prayer and through that submission and that constant prayer that God will begin to work the wonders and the miracles and the signs. They will follow prayerful people. Amen. I'm going to tell you tonight by the word of the Lord, some of you will lay hands on the sick. You will see them recover. Amen. You will lay hands on people. They will be filled with the Holy Ghost. God will bless and will follow prayerful people. Hallelujah. Who are filled with the day star from on high. Hallelujah. 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 And hopefully all of you, but I'm saying it's for all of us. I'm not worried about those things. They follow us. We don't follow them. I'm just saying it's God that does the work. Our job is just follow God. Let that Holy Ghost power flow. Praise God. Amen. It's the power of God that overshadowed Mary's womb. Same Holy Ghost that we have. Let me say something to some tonight that struggle with what I'm saying. See, it's easy sometimes just to get up and preach and say some stuff. I say it's easy sometimes, but sometimes. But you might be out there, you might be going through a struggle, see. Because Jesus has been born and it's caused some trouble. Sometimes we forget, as we were saying a few services ago, the trouble that we went through when we first got this thing. Just roll back the clock a little bit and remember the circumstances in your life, the difficulty, the challenges, the vulnerableness of your own soul, because you had some Herods wanting to kill the kid. You had some people not happy that you were converted, not happy that you wanted to serve God and be a part of this church. Some of us back in those days met attitudes that were like, that church? That Rutledge guy? That holy roller place? The hallelujah stuff? You know, you gotta like those people that years pass and you run into them, they're like, oh, you still go there? Oh, you're still a preacher? What do you expect me to be? Just keep walking. Moron alert. But some are out there, and when we have walked with God and lived for God a while and have been through some battles, we grow strong in the Lord. It's not our own strength, but we do grow strong. Our spirit becomes strong. Our nature becomes strong. Not unsound, not wavering, not tossed to and fro. We've battled. We've been through some battles. We really have. We've been through battles. And some coming among us do not know that. Like some of these ignorant people that are out there in these campuses protesting all sorts of stuff, and some don't even know why they're there. That's dumb. But some of them weren't there in 2001. They weren't even born yet when we watched thousands of people die. So in ignorance, they act the way that they act, not knowing the fight that has been. And so there are new people on the block in the church now. I'm just using that as a reference to ignorance. That don't know what you know. And for the sake of new souls, I'm talking about new converts coming in, when these things happen, we have to be reminded and surround them with prayer and attention and just mindfulness of what they're going through. Because here's the thing, God's not gonna be so mindful of the trouble it might cause that he's not gonna convert them. He's gonna convert you. No matter what you are, who you are, what circumstances you're in, whether they're good, bad, super bad, or somewhere in between, it's not going to stop. When you call upon the name of the Lord, he's going to deliver you. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's going to do it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And he don't care what you've been through. I mean, he cares about you. I'm just saying the circumstances won't stop him. And it didn't matter that Herod was on the throne. It wasn't going to stop him. He didn't say, well, maybe I'll wait till Herod's dead, then I'll be born. He didn't, did he? No. Words got attitude. When the time is to be fulfilled, here I come. Praise God. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, listen to the word of the Lord now. Now, it didn't matter how many made it there or not. I wish that more were in there. They may not have been able to fit them all in that building, in that upper room. Besides, anyhow. But 120 were there. Because whether they were there or not, God was pouring his spirit upon all flesh. And all that wonderful, you think about the greatest church service we've ever had. Imagine, yeah, that's what they were doing too. And do you know they got mocked? Did that stop them? No. Did that stop God? No. Peter stood up and preached. Did everybody believe it? No. Who cares? Why do you care so much about what people think about your experience in God? Look, we know, we've been there, so I can say this freely. Many of you can say it freely. You're at, hey. But the new ones can't. I don't expect them to. I expect some of them to have struggles being able to take a stand for wanting to be a part of this thing. How many times have some of us, after we are baptized in Jesus' name, some juggernaut, spiritual juggernaut, rolling off the bar stool, suddenly said, you didn't have to do that. All you need to do is this. They're fanatics. And when you don't know a whole lot of scripture and you get some jughead quoting verses, Bible verses, and act like they know what they're talking about, some people just get taken back by that. Now, I'm not here to be rude in my speech tonight. I'm just simply here because what I was feeling while reading this and in prayer was the question, why do we care what they think? This is about you and the one born King of the Jews. And this is about him being born in you. This is about you finding Jesus Christ the righteous. And at some point, your attitude has to kind of step up to his attitude. And so the who cares isn't a bad attitude and rude and I don't like you anyway. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we step up to the attitude of God that says, this is what God wants. I want this. I want what God wants. What God wants is, and nobody can stop what God wants. And I want what he wants. And I want to be who he wants me to be. When you can step up just a little bit to lay hold, that's when we lay hold on eternal life. And we say, nothing's going to take this from me. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let me give you an example here. Wow, it's still early. I feel like I've been talking forever. But when I first got converted, I was, let's see, at this stage, I'm just trying to get my times right, somewhere between, I think I was 15 at this stage, and Bobby's parents were still bringing both of us to church. We both lived in Groton, and so I would walk to his house or just get off the bus at his house later on and on church nights and go to church. They would take us to church. But then they stopped coming. And then they were, Bobby was having struggles with them, and then there were moments when he wasn't coming, and there I was trapped in Groton. And trying to figure out how I was going to get to church. Now, at that beginning moment, Brother Bradley was still new to me. Pastor was still new to me. You know what I mean? I wasn't the type that I was just going to go out of my way to, I don't even remember if I even had everyone's number at that time, to try to figure out how I was going to get to church. This was my source. This is what I knew for some months. And so when that was taken from me, and you're a kid, and you're depending on everybody to go from Groton to Norwich, and then people live in Norwich, that means they would have to come to Groton, or Jewett City, have to go all the way to Groton to get me, bring me all the way to church, and then bring me all the way home. And they did that for some years. But at that moment, I remember sitting in church, and I forget how I got there, but I sitting there trying, and in my mind, I was thinking, I don't know if Bobby's ever going to come back, or they're gone. I want to live for God. Now, that might sound silly. You just get somebody else to come get you. But I wasn't thinking about that at that moment. I was thinking about all of a sudden I had this uncertainty feeling about this newness of life that I'd only had for a few months. Feeling like it was in jeopardy. Because people had dropped out. And people were not wanting to live right. And others were struggling that I was a part of that brought me into this thing. Thank God for the goodness of God. Amen. Thank God for The realization of leaning on the fact that, and what saved me many times was, I know that the Holy Ghost experience that I received is real. I know I have the real thing. I know God has changed my life. I know this is more than wonderful. And somehow I'm going to keep a hold of it. Praise God. And that's what I said to the Lord in that church service. God, I want to live for you no matter what, whatever it takes. Praise God. So I'm just sharing that testimony because of this, the feeling of uncertainty. And there are many moments after that where we've all, in our own way, have had to deal with the challenges and the pressures of, like, friends and family who didn't understand what we had and what we were coming to, especially when you have a religious family, and they've been religious a long time, some of them longer than you. And then here you are, and you're saying stuff that they're not used to hearing. Jesus' name, baptism, Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues, shouting, worshiping, calling people brother and sister in the Lord. I got a big family. Now, my dad understood this, you know. He just quizzed me a little bit on it because, you know, it was called First Apostolic Church back then. That was kind of a weird way of naming a church. Wasn't used to that. He said, well, they believe in the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues? I said, oh, yeah. He said, all right. And that was it. As long as they were born again church and believed the truth about the Spirit of God. So thank God for that. But there are others. I'm just saying, now I could get pressure, it wouldn't matter. You would too, right? Because some of us, we've been in this thing for a long, long time. And it doesn't matter if Herod doesn't like our Christ child. We don't like Herod, and we'll tell him. We'll walk into his palace, and we'll tell him. What's your problem? But back then, we didn't have that boldness. And we didn't have that experience. We didn't have all that prayer and fasting and the Word of God and the understanding and the growth and the ups and the downs and the struggles. They hadn't happened yet. We were tender. Even Jesus needed to be protected at this moment. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, help me tonight. Well, we just love him a moment. I'll stop talking for a second. Praise God. Lord, you're so good. Hallelujah. God, you're so good. Hallelujah. God, you're so good. You're so good. Praise God. So there's all sorts of things that people get called on the carpet for. Dress and hair and church attendance, as if two nights a week's like overkill. I mean, you ever talk to people like, you go to church more than once a week? Yeah. I mean, when we first started, it's Thursday, right? Twice on Sunday. I'm trying to get to our third one again. Missing that. So, yeah, to some of them, it was like, wow, you go to church a lot. They do this. They're like flabbergasted. You go to church, what? Three times, what? What do you do? I've had them ask that. What do you do for 2 hours? We worship. We praise. We sing. We hear the great word of God preached. They don't get any of that. But whether they do or they don't, make sure it doesn't change the fact that you love it. Praise the Lord. And you love it. And you want it. You want to be there. You want to worship God. So we all have to cross that bridge of how people feel about our walk. And when we stop worrying about how everybody feels about it, and we just have it. Just walk with God. Amen? That makes sense to everybody? All right, let me try to close this so I'm not just feeling redundant here. Hallelujah. So we have two chapters. First chapter, the Lord causes problems. Second chapter, he causes more problems. Then the third chapter continues to cause more problems by sending John. He's always sending messengers. Praise God. In fact, he told the prophet, I think it was Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces. Set your face like a flint. Some are not going to like what you got to say, but say it anyway. Isn't that right? There are times when a preacher has to get in the pulpit and say stuff he don't want to say. Praise God. But it's got to be said. He doesn't say it with a bad attitude. He says it with a lot of love, a lot of prayer, and a lot of care, and a lot of concern. And he hasn't been in your business, so if the Lord reveals something, he hasn't been on the phone with your spouse or your kids. God knows all things. It's just that word of God with an attitude, but a good attitude. Amen. Don't ever be malicious with the word. You don't have a right to be. It's not what it's for. But let me finish up here. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled in Jerusalem with him. And let me just say one more thing before I continue. If you're watching and listening, and you've had these types of struggles, choose ye this day whom you'll serve. You gotta understand something. Whether your family agrees with this or not, it was God that poured his spirit upon all flesh. It was God that sent Jesus into the world. It was God that provided a lamb that would shed blood to separate us from our sins and take us to glory. It wasn't mom, it wasn't dad, sister, brother, uncle, aunt, or anybody else that you might know in your little circle world. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And the only hope for some of them is if you're willing to follow the star. Praise God. That's your only hope. That's their only hope. That you're willing to follow God and let God lead you to where he is, to where the king is. Praise God. Only hope your family's got. Listening to them and pulling back and holding back because they're being a big mouth isn't going to help anything. All right. So they tell him where to go, and let me just jump down here. And so verse 7, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go, search diligently for the young child, and when you've found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, I'm picturing this. Now, you go outside, you watch and look at the stars. Now, I don't know how close this thing was for them to follow this thing that's moving, and it stays over where the child is in the house that they're in. So that means they're following this thing that's leading them. And then it stops. And then they have to walk underneath this star as far up as it was. Pretty cool. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Oh, hallelujah. Look, if you want to be led by God, he'll lead you. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the leading doesn't start just when you're converted. It starts long before. That's why we get converted in the first place, because we learn to follow the star. Hallelujah. We learn to follow after God and be led by the goodness of God, as the goodness of God loves you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And it's all worth it, even if you have to stop and ask Herod for directions. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. You know, the struggle with reading these passages is because it's become so embedded in tradition, the holiday season. But there's still a message here, and I feel it upon my heart again to just say it, with the emphasis being upon the fact that the Word of God has come to save you. Don't be dismayed if it disrupts some things. It's supposed to, but it's a good disruption. Hallelujah. When you stop and think about your best day in sin and the misery and the shame and the awfulness of the lifestyle that you were living, praise God, none of that compares to one moment in the presence of God, full of the Spirit of the living God, baptized in his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Praise God. None of that compares to it. And it's worth kicking to the curb. And they fell down and they worshiped him. They worshiped this baby. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? They fell to their knees and they worshiped him. Praise God. Herod didn't worship and he didn't want to worship. But who cares? I don't care about Herod. Right? And that the word one preacher used, he is a dirtbag, a sinner, and a slob. Why do we care about the dirtbag and the slob? What he thinks about it. I don't. Amen? Amen? Let's love him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Let's all stand. Let me try to stop. Hallelujah. I preached long enough. I want you falling asleep. So they worshiped and they opened their treasures and presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Amen. God is so good. Hallelujah. Lord bless you, Brother Tim. Hallelujah. Brother Justin, God bless you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let me say this, that if Herod ends up being somebody that you love, don't call him a dirtbag. And don't hate him. Just follow the star. God knows how to make everything right. Amen? Follow the star. The worst thing you can do is fight him. Just follow the star. Praise God. They didn't go back and throw rocks in Herod's window. They just went another way. They went another way. So let's pray here tonight as we close. And I don't know who you are, where you're coming from out there, and if you're listening online. I just pray that somewhere you heard something that could help you. Praise God. Just make sure you're seeing what you need to see, and that you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Praise God. Lord, it's praise you bless these people here tonight. Thank you, Lord, and renew us, God, all with a sense of desire to serve God, a desire, Lord, to find the King. Hallelujah. Wherever the King of glory is, that's where we want to be. Give us strength to find him with all of our heart and with all of our soul. And God, I pray that no distraction will stop anybody wanting to live for God. Hallelujah. You'll stop the mouths of those who exalt themselves and let your children find you. In Jesus' name. And keep Herod from, Lord, hindering. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. We pray that they'll find him. Hallelujah, that they won't be distracted from seeing the star. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. Hallelujah. Some people don't make it past Herod. They don't. Some people get discouraged along the way, and they don't see the star again. That's the other side of it. There are people that see the goodness of God. They see it. Like these guys saw the star. Obviously, you know, I'm just figuratively speaking, comparing the two. That they see good things that God is shining like a star. That's God. That's God. That's God. Good things, healing, miracles that he does on the people. They're not converted, but he loves them and reigns on the just and the unjust. And it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance, praise God. And there's those things. And sometimes it's good, seemingly it's a good intentional thing from others to try to, you know, warn you about these type of people. They might think that they're doing something good for you, but they're not. They're trying to keep you, they're trying to discourage you from further looking for the leading of God and following him all the way. That's why we pray, and that's why my prayer is with every soul that continues to come to God. Our prayer is a prayer of, Lord, I just pray they'll keep coming, that they'll keep being led, that they'll keep following after you with all their heart, that they'll get past the influence of Herod, and the threat of Herod and the influence of those who don't care about the king being born. They just care about their own agenda, their own religious concept, and they're not concerned about the real Jesus. And there are those in this world today. So I'll say this in closing. Thank you. At some point, anybody that comes to church here, in a church like this one, at some point in your life, you're going to have to reconcile yourself with the Word. You're going to have to make a choice and settle in your heart that this is right or you don't believe it. You can't have one foot in, one out. There's no such thing as, well, they're right and you're maybe right. You won't last. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to receive everything God wants for you because you're being attached. You're attached to the palace with the wrong king in it. Who's saying you don't need to go after that king. But that king is the King of Glory. The Lord of Hosts is his name. And that's all Jesus is trying to do, is bring you to the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's only one gospel. There's not a Baptist gospel, a Catholic gospel, a Presbyterian gospel, an Episcopal gospel. There's only one gospel because there's only one Christ. There's only one King of Glory. And every one of us, with the right attitude, have to come to the place where this is the way, the truth, and the life. And anything else is not and needs this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's love him one more time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you tonight, and appreciate all of you, and let's continue to pray and